Tech Talk with Jess Kelly. This is News Talk.
Welcome to Tech Talk. Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up this week, we get a stark warning from Dublin Fire Brigade as to why you should be careful about the cables you use. Plus, Derek Riley will be here with news from the world of EVs. As always, you can email the show techtalk@newstalk.com. Or you'll find me on Twitter @JessKellyNT. But we're going to start this week with something that's slightly scary that happened to me during the week. So I went home from work on Wednesday evening and I walked into my bedroom and I could kind of smell burning plastic, but I couldn't see where it was coming from. So I didn't think anything much about it. I opened a window, I sat down on the bed with my Kindle and I was reading away, happy out. And after about 15 minutes or so, I went to move the cushion or the pillow behind me. And it was roasting hot. Not only was it roasting hot, but it was stuck to my bed. So I jumped up and there it was, a phone charging cable, or the remainders of a phone charging cable. It had basically burned through my bed, burned through my pillow. And to say I got a fright is an understatement. It really shook me. Usually I am so careful about these things. Obviously, when I got up in the morning, I unplugged my phone and I just threw the cable down and didn't realise. But this got me thinking that, you know, this is not just a Jess Kelly problem. I'm sure it happens to people all the time. But as we come closer to Christmas and we are charging multiple devices, maybe we're plugging in Christmas tree lights and so on, it's kind of a good reminder that we need to be so careful. So I'm delighted to be joined by Darren O'Connor from the Dublin Fire Brigade. Darren, thank you for joining me. Firstly, my story, unfortunately, isn't uncommon. Sure, it's not.
No, it's definitely not, Jess. You know, we've well documented some of these incidents on our social media platforms that we've attended, you know, fires involving chargers and other electrical devices. So, yeah, it's not uncommon and it's becoming more common with the more electrical and electronic devices that are brought into the home.
We see, because I follow the guys who run the social media account for Dublin Fire Brigade on Instagram and Twitter, and every now and then, as you mentioned, they post pictures. And you see some of the comments underneath going, oh God, I'd never leave my phone on charge overnight. Yeah. But what happened to me, like there was nothing plugged into the charger. This was just plugged into the mains, like into the wall. And then the cable was just left on the bed. But that still caused a problem.
Yeah, you know, charger is reducing the voltage down from generally from anywhere from between 230 and 240 volts down to about 5 volts. So even when there's no load on the charger, that the charger's plugged in, but there's no phone or laptop connected to it, it's still actually functioning as a transformer. So obviously when there's load involved, when the phone is charging or laptop's charging, you know, that's when you start getting the heat build up because you're drawing current through them. But even if they are just plugged in with nothing connected to them, they are still working as a transformer. So there's still something happening inside them.
It's very, very scary. I've spoken to your colleagues in the past about the importance of making sure that you're using sort of a certified proper cable. You're not using one of the ones that's an unofficial cable. You don't know where it's come from. Sometimes some of the cheaper ones wouldn't be at the certain standards as the official ones. And that's something for people to be mindful of as well.
It is. There's a couple of things there. If people wanted to go onto the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission website, a bit of a mouthful there, but their website's very informative and they've got a piece on their product safety specifically related to charges, a very informative piece. The other thing we say to people in our voice would be, if you buy a laptop, you buy a phone, comes with a charger. That's the charger you use for the device. If you're going to recycle or discard your old device, get rid of the charger as well. Because, as you know, batteries have different power in different batteries. So, I mean, the phone I use, the charger that comes with it is a 4 amp hour charger. It's capable of charging 4,000 milliamps. However, I can still plug a smaller charger into the phone and try and draw more current out. And that's when you start to hit the problems. As you start to draw more current through a device and you get bigger flow of electricity, that's when you start getting the heat. The other thing we take to people is regularly inspect your devices, regularly inspect the chargers. If you think there's excessive heat on it, bring it to a reputable store, have it checked or replace it. The other thing is don't carry out repairs. If cables are frayed on the end of the charges of the connection, it may only be low voltage, it may only be 5 volts, but it can still produce enough of a spark to produce the heat to cause a fire.
Yeah, I've seen some people, they almost do it with pride, and it does make me nervous. You know, when people show you battered cables and then they've got all kinds of tape around them and they're like you know,
a badge of honor.
And it's just, it does make me nervous. And as I said, I got the absolute fright of my life on Wednesday when this happened to me. So please, please, please be mindful of where you're, what cables you're using, where you're leaving them, and how long you're leaving them plugged in for. What about when it comes to charging phones or laptops on beds or sofas and all the rest?
Yeah, it's a big no-no. Charge them on a non-combustible surface. Countertop in the kitchen, stone countertop, Formica countertop, a hard wooden table or something like that with glass covering on it. Non-combustible items, they should only be charged on that type of surface. And leaving them on beds, leaving them on flammable surfaces is a complete no-no. Because, you know, electronic devices, technology can fail. We can run into problems. I mean, chargers, like, you know, they're getting put into bags, they're getting bounced off tables, all bits and pieces. So they do suffer a fair bit of abuse as well, so they can malfunction. So to err on the side of caution, always charge them on a non-combustible surface. And when you're in the house or when you're in the property around the office, whatever, where you can keep an eye on them, you know. Just on the thing about inspecting cables and inspecting devices, if there's any parents listening, which I'm sure there is, go in and inspect your kids' phone chargers, laptop chargers, tablet chargers, because they're definitely not going to tell you when the cables are frayed. But go in and have a good look at them, because these devices are obviously in the home as well, you know, so they need to be inspected.
Yeah, and you don't want to find out when it's too late, when something like what happened to me happens to you. Another thing that I know a lot of people are guilty of at the moment, because obviously a lot of people are working from home, so I'd say that sales on extension leads have gone through the roof, and people are probably cramming a huge amount of, or taking a huge amount of power from these adapters. Yeah. We need to be mindful of that as well.
We do, you know, so you see the trailing aids, we call them, like they've got three outlets or four outlets on them. One plug top per outlet. Don't be putting adapters and don't be daisy chaining from one to the other. The big thing as well, and the most important thing as well, is if you're using a rolled up extension lead, so it's a 10-meter extension lead, a 15-meter extension lead, they're designed to be rolled out fully to allow the heat to dissipate through them. So if you're using an extension lead across the room or in behind the bed, make sure it's rolled out fully, that the cable is out with full extension, because if it's rolled up, what happens is that the current is drawn out of the cable, the magnetic field builds up and you get a heat build up and it just cascades away, and eventually the cables will just start to melt inside and it'll cause a fire. So essentially it must be rolled out fully, and then one socket to one outlet, one plug top for each of the individual trailing leads.
Okay, so don't daisy chain, as you said, because I know some people would try and, you know, if they don't have the 10-meter one, they'll try and put some of the shorter ones together from one to the other to the other.
Yeah, absolutely. Just what, you know, use what it's designed, use it the way it's designed to be used. The other thing as well is, and the saying about there about repairing cables. So some of these leads come with a 10-amp fuse and some of them come with a 13-amp fuse. Bad connections and sparks and arcing from cables will not be detected by fuses. So people think, I've bought it, you know, I've gone down, I've bought from a reputable wholesaler, I've bought a good trailing lead, it's got a 13-amp fuse in it, I'm going to plug it in and I'm going to plug my laptop, webcam and my phone charger into it, and that's fine. If the cables are damaged, the fusing, no matter how good that product is, fuses will not detect bad connections. Fuses only protect overloads. So if you've got a bad connection, you've got sparks, you've got arcing caused by the cable, the fuse will not detect it. And it will just keep going, and it could potentially cause a fire if it comes in contact with a flammable surface.
Oh my gosh, okay. I mentioned there at the top that we're, like, I've seen a lot of Christmas trees up already, a lot of decorations up. What's the advice around that? You know, some people like to leave their lights on all day and all night and all the rest. I assume that's not advisable.
No, definitely not. We'd always advise, our advice would be always unplug all non-essential items. The most, you know, that's left plugged in, the essential item is the fridge, freezer. Everything else, you're going, if you're leaving the property, you're going to bed at night, plug out all non-essential items. And the big thing is, much like yourself, you know, you could have potentially had a fire in the bedroom when the house is unoccupied and you've gone to work. It's close the doors. Close the doors, leaving the house during the day, and close the doors, especially going to bed at night. Have working smoke detectors on each level of the home. Make sure they're tested. But again, closing the doors is the single easiest thing you can do to protect your home and protect your family from the effects of fire. And on the Christmas thing, you know, again, lights, don't carry out home repairs. Buy from a reputable wholesaler, go to a reputable shop, make sure they're CE marked. Again, there's lots of information available on the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission website about buying, about looking for CE marks and buying from reputable wholesalers. So that would be our advice. But leaving them on at night, leaving them on going out of the house would be a big no-no for us.
And I know it's not tech-related, but candles as well. A lot of people will have gorgeous displays in the windows or on their tables. But just watch out on that one as well.
Yeah, our advice again is, we've been pushing this for the last couple of years. There's lots of LED replacement products out there that look like candles and they behave like candles, but they're not the real thing. And, again, to be practical, people are going to have candles in the home, but they really, really need to exercise caution around the use of candles. Again, use them on a non-combustible surface. If you have them in windows, keep them away from drapes, away from curtains, all that kind of thing. And, use them in a proper container, especially the tea lights. Tea lights are extremely dangerous. As the candle burns down and it gets to the bottom, the wax gets extremely hot, then the flame is hot. You've seen them, and there's been a couple of well-publicised fake fires in Ireland as well, the inquest that's been caused by tea lights being left on surfaces. So big danger there, so people really need to be mindful of them.
Well, look, I've enjoyed chatting to you, but I hope I don't see you or your colleagues at any stage.
Hopefully not.
There is some very, very good advice there. Please just learn from my stupidity. Don't you leave a charger on your bed, on your sofa. Don't charge devices on anything that is flammable or can catch light. Close the doors and just sort of, I suppose, practice a little bit of cop on, which I am promising to do from here on out. Darren O'Connor from Dublin Fire Brigade, thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Thanks, Jeff.
Now, before we go any further, I would like to tell you about two new brilliant podcasts that we have here on News Talk. They're available on the News Talk app or wherever you get your podcasts from. The first one is The Crown Cast with Ciara Kelly. I don't know about you, but I have been glued to The Crown on Netflix over the last number of days. It's a compelling series. I don't want to spoil too much in terms of my own views or indeed the series, but if you are an avid fan, if you are someone who has been gripped by every millisecond of the series thus far, do check out The Crown Cast with Ciara Kelly as a podcast. It's kind of like a watch-along podcast, so every day she is dissecting each episode. So myself and my colleague here, Henry McKean, were on during the week. We were talking about the episode called Fagin, which I have to say was my favourite of the entire series. I loved getting to chat about with Ciara. Ciara is a huge fan. You can kind of sense her excitement in every single episode that is out there. You'll hear Ciara chatting through the series with the likes of Kieran Cuttihy, Shane Coleman, Andrea Gilligan, Sinead Ryan, and sure, who knows who else. But it is definitely worth a listen. I really enjoyed sort of watching the episode on Netflix and then listening to Ciara and her panel's views on each one. Actually, the episode with John Duggan, Off the Ball's John Duggan, is fantastic. It's very, very enjoyable. So that's the first one. And then the next one is something a little bit different. You may be aware that here on News Talk, between now and Christmas, we're asking you what are the top 20 most influential moments of the last 20 years. And every day here on News Talk, we are debating and again dissecting each of the topics that you have nominated. Over the last few days, we've had Saipan, we had 9/11, we had the environment, sort of the climate change move. On Thursday, we had great conversations around social media and smartphones and the impact that they have had on society. I know Ciara and Shane on News Talk Breakfast, they moved back to the old school Nokia 3310s, which was very, very enjoyable. I essentially cyber stalked Kieran Cuttihy. I went through his social media and slightly embarrassed him on air. But all of the coverage of each of the issues is available if you search for the podcast. So it is the top 20 most influential moments of the past 20 years. If you search for that on the News Talk app, you will get it there or any of the podcast platforms. And I'd highly recommend it because what we're doing is we're taking the coverage from the entire day. So the 9/11 episode I listened to, and I found it so interesting to listen back to different voices, different perspectives on that day. I said it to Kieran last week that I remember I was in secondary school. I was in first year in secondary school the day 9/11 happened. I clearly remember my dad driving me home from my first football training session in secondary school and hearing it on the news and then watching it on TV3 as it was then. So I clearly remember that, and everyone I suppose has those different stories. But this episode of the 20 most influential moments of the last 20 years kind of captured that. So they are two podcast recommendations for you. If you have any podcast recommendations for me, what should I be listening to? What would you recommend? Or maybe you host a podcast yourself. Email techtalk@newstalk.com. Coming up next, Derek Riley of EV Review Ireland is back.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Rate and subscribe.
TechTalk@newstalk.com is the email address if you'd like to get in touch, or you'll find me on Twitter @JessKellyNT. We're going to turn our attention once again to the world of motoring, and I'm delighted to welcome back Derek Riley of the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Derek, welcome back. What are we talking about this time?
Thanks, Jess. This week we're going to be talking about two different subject matters. First one being wireless charging and the second one being 5G. Where would you like to start?
Oh, now you see, these are two things that I didn't anticipate us talking about within the motoring section of Tech Talk, to be completely honest with you. Let's start with the wireless charging, because anything to do with charging kind of piques people's attention, I think, when it comes to electric vehicles.
Yeah, absolutely. People get range anxiety and where am I going to charge? How am I going to charge? What cable do I need to charge? And wireless charging may be the answer. Last month, there was a standardization agreed globally up to 11 kilowatts. So you know now if you buy a car in whatever part of the world, moving forward, it will be compatible with this standard that has been set out globally. So use case comes across in three different situations. So Jess has her electric vehicle and she drives into her garage at home or her car parking spot in her apartment complex and don't have to plug anything in because the pad is already built into the floor of the car parking spot and you drive your car over it and off you go. It charges itself.
This sounds so ideal. Is it kind of like a mobile phone? So, you know, if you have one of those wireless charging pads, you just need to make sure that the phone, the right part of the phone, is sitting on the right part of the charger.
It's even better than that. It's a slightly different technology and that just has to be in the general area. Whereas with the phone and or watch or whatever it may be, wireless charging, you have to kind of get it right.
Yeah.
Whereas with the car, it kind of has to be around it somewhere and it'll pick it up.
That's so handy.
Also dependent on, it doesn't make a difference what height of a car it is either. So if you've got a small city car or a sports car all the way up to an SUV or 4x4, it'll travel the distance.
Class. How does it look? As in, so say if two people share a parking spot, one of them has an EV, one of them doesn't. Is there anything that gets in the way of the non-EV parking in that space?
Not at all. So you've got the box built into the wall right in front of you or behind you if you're reversing in or driving in. And then there's a pad probably about 2 foot wide by about 3 foot deep that sits in the middle of the car parking spot, so any other car can park over it, doesn't make a difference. And then on the bottom of your electric vehicle, if it's fitted with such technology, it will just be able to sit right over it.
Okay, God, this could be a real game changer. And we've spoken in the past previously about getting, you know, a charger, putting into whether it's your driveway or your parking spot, or obviously there's the public ones as well. Is this going to be expensive and arduous to install?
No, BMW are trialing it at the moment on some of their hybrid vehicles and having it as part of an offering for people that don't want the hassle of having to get out and faff around with cables. So it is early stage technology. Qualcomm, where we probably know from the Snapdragon 865, the manufacturer of the chips, they were a huge innovator in it. And the part of the company that was doing wireless charging was acquired at the start of this year by a company called Y-tricity. And so there's a lot of interest in this marketplace because of that first use case scenario of I can park my EV over the pad and it will charge. I don't have to plug in any big cables, don't have to know if I've got the right cable. And technically, that pad can be sitting on top of your car parking space or can be built in and your parking space. So it can be concreted or tarmacked around. So it's very inobtrusive.
Do we think, and I know you've just said that, look, we're early doors on this, mm-hmm. and they're testing it to see what the uptake is, see how it works and so on. But in a few years' time, do we reckon some of those ESB charger points that are around the country could be like this, or hotels could get these? So that way then, you know, it's neater. I assume it probably looks a bit neater. There's no faffing around with cables. There's no fear factor that, Jesus, the cable's not working or anything like that.
Yeah. I definitely think it's going to be where it's going to go. And we can see that transition with our wireless technology, with a mobile phone or smartwatches, etc. So as much as it's not that much hassle to plug your phone in or plug your watch in, the handiness of being able to just leave it down on a pad or have it built into a piece of furniture like IKEA have. When I was researching this for the show, I was like, okay, it's built into the ground. What's the efficiency? How much energy is actually getting across from the grid to the battery? And I was blown away about how efficient this is. It's between 90 and 93% efficient.
Wow.
So you're not losing electricity in between the gap between, and if you're driving a large 4x4, between the pad on the ground and the pad on the bottom of the actual Jeep itself, 93%.
That's
insane. I thought that was pretty amazing.
Yeah. And is it going to be the same sort of, you know, will it take longer to charge this way? Will it?
No. It's exact
okay,
same.
Great. Wow.
Yeah, literally, there is very few downsides to it. Now, the larger the piece of machinery that you're looking to charge, so say if you wanted to do this, and this is moving to my second use case scenario. So we've talked about personal charging, Jess and her EV and her car parking space. Let's take it to a commercial aspect. Think about all the taxis that are parked outside your local train station, at the rank, in the middle of the town. They're trialing this in the UK and in Norway at the moment, where taxis, which are sitting on the rank, they've got the pad built into the street, and the taxi's charging up as you're waiting.
Like, that's such a great idea. And, you know, some people are wondering how, because obviously we have targets in terms of getting people to go green with their vehicles and so on. And people are wondering and anxious and understandably anxious about the battery situation. But this is the type of innovation that's going on in the background. And I'd say, like, by the time we finish this conversation, there'll be some other form of innovation in the works, you know, that's going to kick it on even further. But having it in ranks, or having them in supermarkets. So if you drive to your supermarket and you spend an hour in doing your food shop, your car could be charging up as you go about your day.
And it's this opportunist charging, or grazing, as they call it. So when you're doing stuff, going to the cinema, when we go back to going to the cinema, going shopping, going for a bite to eat, that the space that you park in, you didn't even have to think, do I need to plug it in or not? And so that opportunity of being able to charge out and about, or like taxis or delivery trucks for supermarkets, when they're out and about and they come back to the supermarket to fill up the next batch of shopping from home baskets that they have, that when the van is there in the depot, it's charging away. The driver didn't even need to think about plugging it in.
Yeah, this is the time of the week where I ask my weekly stupid question. You know, the way there's schools of thought that, you know, if you constantly plug your phone in on charge, if you don't let it completely die down, if you're constantly doing those little top up charges, that it may not be good for the battery. Is there any research in terms of the cars on this? You know, if you still have 70% charge, but you see a charger port available and you plug it in just for a little while, does that do anything to the capacity or the longevity of the battery at all?
The battery management systems that are in cars and phones and whatever mobile device, laptops, etc., they're getting so sophisticated that they're starting to know themselves what your charging habits are like. And I think if you're conscious as to how I charge, so do I fast charge all the time? Do I use charging in a small, like you're saying, you top up here and there, 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there, the battery knows itself then how, and it'll probably get to the stage where the car will remind you, this car needs a big top up charge in the next month or whatever it may be. So it knows how to manage the battery itself, and it'll probably advise the driver how to do it. So not a stupid question at all, Jess, but one that people are thinking about. Can I do it wrong? And like anything, absolutely you can do it wrong, but there's so much good advice and guidance out there that they'll be there to help.
I would love to hear from you. If you have an EV, would you be interested in getting one of these wireless pads into your home or into your apartment block car park? Or if you're a business, I would love to hear from some businesses. I know it's kind of a weird time at the moment, but whether it's a hotel, a B&B, a shopping outlet, email techtalk@newstalk.com and let me know if it's made a difference, if you've had any feedback, or if you're considering installing one. Derek, stay where you are. I have to take a very quick break, but when we come back, we will hear more from Derek Riley of the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel here on Newstalk.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Rate and subscribe.
newstalk.com is the email address. Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Derek Riley of the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel is still with me. Derek, let's move on to 5G. This is sort of, I feel like I've been talking about 5G for about 20 years. And I feel like every conversation is around, you know, optimizing what we can already do, augmenting what we can already do. But it does seem to be like a key part of bringing us closer to autonomous vehicles from a practicality side of things. I know the legislative side of things is going to be an absolute headache. But what's the story?
Yeah, it's going to be huge with regards to how cars talk to cars, how cars talk to infrastructure like traffic lights and signals and traffic systems, and how the passengers in the cars are going to be entertained. So I looked at three different aspects of 5G and how it's going to affect the automotive industry. And there's actually an association already formed, the 5GAA. So different to the AA that we're used to hearing on the radio, this is the 5G Automotive Association rather than the Automobile Association. Mm-hmm. And that's a group of automotive manufacturers and the likes of Nokia, which we haven't heard from in a while, but are still huge in that commercial space, coming together, making sure that whatever standards we're using and whatever practicality. So as an example, I'm driving along and Jess is the car in front of me, and we both have 5G enabled cars. And Jess's car on the cameras on your car picks up somebody starting to walk across the street, but you've already gone past them. That will send the information back to my car to say, we need to slow down. There is somebody crossing the street where they shouldn't. There is a pedestrian on the road, or there's an animal or whatever it may be. So cars talking to cars. And that's, I think, is going to be an amazing aspect with regards to reducing the level of accidents on the road. Because you might have just gone past something that's just about to happen. And the fact that your car could talk to my car, I think, is going to be a game changer.
Okay, so explain this to me, though. So if my car is talking to your car, and say if your car brakes sharply, that information then will be reported back to my car. But does the car actually do anything to protect me, or does it just tell me heads up?
Yeah, it could potentially take over, and that those driver assists. There's studies showing that more those automotive autonomous driving, in the likes of the Tesla and others, that if the car is in control, there are less accidents, because as humans, we're far from perfect. We make mistakes, whereas the car has that ability to be able to a million other cars have gone through the situation, so it knows the best outcome to do. So if it means applying the brake to your car without you actually having to do it, and cars are starting to do this more and more, it will do that for you.
Okay, another question, and this could be a dumb one, so forgive me, but how does that impact insurance in the case of an accident, for example?
Yes.
So your car hard brakes, my car gets the information, and the car decides, my car decides to put my brakes on, but that then leads somebody to crash into the back of me because they don't have the 5G talking to them.
Correct.
What happens there?
And it will always depend. It'll always depend on the person driving the car. So you have to be aware as a driver. And I know, I think you're talking about getting your lessons and getting your license, and
eventually,
it's going to be all ahead of you. But you still have to be, you still have to be in control of the vehicle. You still have to be aware. So if a car breaks in front of you, if you're too close to that car in front of you, whether that car breaks automatically or by its driver, if you haven't left enough space as the driver following it to brake, you're at fault. And the fact that there's going to be more of this 5G connectivity and more of cameras recording and the telemetry as to what was being pressed, brake, accelerator, what speed you were going at, all that kind of stuff, it's not going to be he said, she said, they said. It's going to be, well, this car's, we know this car was doing X, Y, Z, and the other car behind it, which didn't have the technology built in, we have to take your word for it, but the cameras show that you didn't brake when you said you'd broke. And so the insurance will start to use the data that's being utilized in cars.
You see, I think this is, firstly, I think it's brilliant technology. Anything that makes us safer, whether it is when we're in the car or if you're walking down the street or whatever you're doing, I think it's brilliant. I'm a little bit apprehensive about it, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because I don't know enough about it. But are we going to get to a stage, like, do cars already kind of have a black box in it? And can I, the driver...
Some of them do, and some... Yeah, some of them do, and some insurance companies actually refit them afterwards as well to see how fast you're driving, how severely you're braking, how severe you're turning, and that'll bring your premium down once they can see that the kind of driver that you are. But that 5G connectivity of cars talking to cars, and they probably will get to a stage where we'll accept so much automation, but we still want to be in control of the car. Some people want the car to drive themselves, and like you were when you were in Las Vegas at CES, and the shuttles were going around themselves. Another aspect of 5G could be commercial vehicles that are traveling from Dublin to Galway, and they all get in a line behind each other to lower wind resistance and fuel economy, and they all, like you see in those minority report or science fiction movies, where the car or the commercial vehicle slots into a gap and they keep going along at the same speed as every other car. That kind of stuff is starting to come to optimize the space that we have on the roads, because there's nothing worse than being stuck behind somebody that's going a bit slower than the rest of the traffic.
Yeah.
And we're not optimizing that road space. So that 5G connectivity will help with all that. Another use case could be that it is a quieter time on the roads, and you're driving along in your 5G car, and it's talking to the traffic lights that are around you and coming up, and it knows that there's no other cars coming on the side roads, so it'll turn the light green, because it, rather than you having to stop and wait for the sequence to happen, it'll be a live system, and if there's a lot of traffic coming one way, it'll keep the light green until cars come on the side roads. So rather than a sequence, it'll actually be live data working together.
Okay, and again, doomsday Jess Kelly here, but like, what's the, if we do all this right, and if all those brilliant things come of it, and then there's a cyber attack or the system goes down or something happens, what do we do then?
There's going to have to be fail safes. There's going to have to be the option of being able to drive the car itself.
You're so blasé about it. It'd be grand. Grand. Calm down.
But I take it that way. You have to, as much as I know that if there's a cyber attack, if we lose electricity, if we, there's lots of potentials, and you're 100% right to ask the question, but there won't be a case where I won't be able to take control back over of the vehicle. There is going to have to be a steering system of some sort that I can drive the vehicle if the computer melts down, if the 5G connectivity goes, and even coming back to wireless charging and the 5G connectivity of that, there is going to be a case, and we talked about car parking, we talked about tech commercial and taxi ranks, there is a case where they're trialing wireless charging as you're driving, built into the road, Jess.
Wow.
So you're driving along and the 5G connectivity is telling the road where you are and what parts of the road to electrify so that you can charge from it.
That's pretty cool. That is cool. I'll give you that one.
Because you're going slow. You can go 110 kilometers an hour and the road will be able to give you between 10 and 13 kilowatts, which is what you need to drive along at that speed per hour.
Okay.
So but you could go Dublin to Galway and the 5G connectivity is talking to the sections of the road to say, I need to take some charge from this part of the road.
But are we here in Ireland already having these conversations about who's going to pay and how we're going to put that connectivity into the road, or are we not there yet?
No, we're not there yet. No, it's a huge infrastructural cost, and it's going to be in situations where they're trialing it and testing it in the infrastructure, and it's a chicken and egg situation. If we put in electrified charging roads, how many people are going to use it? How many cars have the capability to do it? So it's going to be a gradual roll-up, but I think it's such an exciting time for wireless charging, for 5G, for electric vehicles, all the stuff that we talk about. I think it's just moving at such a pace that we've only been chatting for a couple of episodes and already the things have been moving along so fast. Too fast, hopefully not, but I think there's huge opportunity. And with the 5G side of things, it's not just for the driver, it's not just for the infrastructure, it's also for passengers. I'm lucky enough to drive Jess down to Cork or Galway and Jess is sitting in the back, streaming 4K on her mobile device because of the 5G connectivity.
Yeah, look, there's no denying that this is going to be the game changer. I suppose people, because I have been talking about it for so long, I think me and people like us are almost getting a little bit impatient with it now. You know, we kind of want to see it in action. And I know it's going to be a long time before our legislation catches up. And I'm sure it'll be a long time before we get the investment to put the infrastructure in place. But it would be amazing, even on sort of the main, I don't even know what the correct term is because I'm not a driver, motorways.
Yeah.
Like the big roads, the big ones. Mm-hmm. Like it'd be great to kind of get it in situ in some of those, just so that we can see the potential of it and try and get people used to it before it becomes the absolute norm. Kind of let us dip our toe in the water a little bit.
I think it's going back to the broadband rollout, and we're not going to mention the war, but no. It's going to happen in largely populated areas first, and then it's going to spread itself out into the more rural areas around the country. And that's just the way it is. It's a business, you know. It has to be self-sufficient. It has to pay for itself if it's not government funded, etc. But that's a different talk show we should be on. But absolutely, I think Ireland, for the size of an island that we are, I think we could be at the forefront of this kind of stuff, trialing this kind of innovation and really be test beds so that we can be leading the way with innovation in this. Because it doesn't take long for me to travel from the west coast to the east coast of the country or from north to south, whatever it may be. We're a small enough of a country. We could start trialing this kind of stuff. And I'm hoping some listeners out there will get the spark from listening to the show that they might want to start looking into it.
Well, that's on to my next point, actually. And over the coming weeks and months, people may be considering their new car. You know, the new year is usually a good time, or is often a time where people consider it. And if you are considering getting an EV, email your questions to techtalk@newstalk.com, and hopefully Derek will answer them and advise. But Derek, if people are contemplating a new car and they're contemplating an EV, what are the things that they should be checking out? Like, what's the sort of the checklist that they should have to make sure that they're looking at the right type of vehicle for them? Because as we mentioned the first time you were on the show, you know, just because a vehicle has great spec on paper, that doesn't necessarily mean it'll suit your lifestyle.
Absolutely. And it's down to sitting down and what is important to us. How many people will we be normally carrying? So we could have a family of four, but then at Christmas time and around other holidays, we have to bring my parents out. So I need a six-seater. Mm. I'm not going to buy a six-seater or seven-seater because I need it twice a year. And it's the same with any type of vehicle, especially an electric vehicle. What's the norm? What's the majority of time? Well, my distance that I travel on a regular basis per day, per week is 200 kilometers. Okay, so let's look at vehicles that have a capacity of maybe 300 kilometers, so we have that buffer. As much as I travel down the west or travel a long distance once or twice a year, I don't need a car or a vehicle that will do that distance on a regular basis. So it's looking and sitting down and practically looking at it. I was talking to somebody yesterday about electric vehicles, and he said, I'll only buy an electric vehicle when it drives 1,200 kilometers, because that's what my diesel car does. And I was like, where are you driving that's 1,200 kilometers? Like, are you driving to Germany and back in one go, or what's happening here?
Yeah.
Like, you have to stop to eat. You have to stop to go to the restroom. You're probably going to stop over and sleep somewhere. And these are all the places that you're going to be able to charge the car. And so these kind of conversations with people, and to sit down and say, right, what do we actually need? What would we like if we could get it? It may be down to budget. There's so many different, and there's so many, like in the next year to 2 years, there's something like 300 new EVs coming to the marketplace. Mm. 300. That's everything from a small city car all the way up to a people carrier and everything in between. So you're going to have that option. And last week in the UK, they said that in 2030, you won't be able to buy any more petrol or diesel cars. And whatever the UK do, usually we're not far to follow because we're so aligned. We're the same side of the road, etc. So secondhand car sales, whether it's coming in from the UK, whether it's originating here, they're all that. You need to sit down and have a chat and talk to people that know. Chat to family members, chat to people in the EV community. If it's an EV you're interested in, join those online communities. Talk to your local dealer that you've been to. Now, some dealers don't get it yet. Mm. They're still worried about it. Like, I was talking to a manufacturer recently that are bringing an EV into the Irish market, and the guy bringing it in turned around to me and he says, Derek, what's going to happen with all the batteries?
Yeah.
And I'm like, nothing. They're going to be fine. There's an 8-year warranty. Then it's going to go into either probably somebody's solar panel system where they're going to store battery for the next 5 years. And the next 5 years after, that's probably going to go and back up an office somewhere because they want a power backup or a data center. The battery is going to be okay. The battery is going to last longer than the car. But when the person is saying that to me, that's what's, I'm getting red flags saying, well, this is the person bringing the cars into the country.
Yeah.
If they're asking these questions, then we've got a problem.
Well, look, if you are one of those people that does have questions, email techtalk@newstalk.com. Derek, we might try and catch up again before Christmas and you might go through some of those questions just to give people a bit of guidance. Again, this is a judgment-free zone. I am the queen of the stupid questions, so there's no question that is too silly or too obvious. Do send it in, techtalk@newstalk.com. Derek Riley of EV Review Ireland, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jess.
Now, before we go this week, I suppose we need to talk about Black Friday sales and Cyber Monday sales. There are so many deals out there at the moment. It is quite overwhelming. You will have heard on last week's show or last week's podcast, depending on where you listen, Derek Cassidy from bonkers.ie. He gave some really good advice in terms of consumer protection, but also a pretty good warning that, you know, not every deal you see is a deal. So if you are thinking of buying something this festive season online in one of the sales, do your research. Make sure you shop around. Don't buy from the first website that you see. Some of the different retailers are claiming to have fantastic deals on offer, but when you dig a little deeper or compare to some of the other sites that are out there, you'll see that it can be a little bit of a ruse. So make sure that you are shopping around. Do not impulse buy. And that's coming from me, the queen of the impulse buy. But try and only buy things that you need, only buy things that you want, only buy gifts that you think will be appreciated, loved and used. Try and cut down on your waste. We are encouraging people to shop local and support local where possible. With that in mind, there are some retailers, Irish tech retailers, that I wanted to give a bit of a shout out to because I do think they are worthy. They provide a great service. They have all the products that you would want. The first one is Eureka.ie. That is a website where you will find all kinds of everything from laptops, accessories and so on. So it's Eureka.ie. The next one is itrepairs.ie. This is a store in Cork. Again, they have a fantastic range of products on offer, whether it is a cover for your smartphone, a tablet for a family member, or indeed for yourself. They do have it all there. And the final one is Ray Communications. That's REACommunications.com. This is a brilliant website that I came across a few weeks ago when I was doing some price comparison stuff. And I found that they have great deals on a lot of the big name products that I have recommended here on Tech Talk and indeed on the Pat Kenny Show here on News Talk. They sell refurbished mobile phones, refurbished MacBooks, pre-owned mobile phones, new mobile phones, gaming equipment, which is huge. So if you have a gamer in your life and you're on the hunt for a good gaming headset, for example, definitely check out raycommunications.com. They are just some of the recommendations that I have for you. If you do have any tech questions or if you want any particular recommendations, email me techtalk@newstalk.com or you'll find me on Twitter @JessKellyNT. As I said during the week on Off the Ball, if you are shopping online, please be wary. Don't put your credit card information into any website that does not start with HTTPS. The S means it's secure. Another top tip that we got from Dara Cassidy of bonkers.ie last week is that you can use a virtual Revolut card. So if you're a Revolut customer, you can use your virtual Revolut card, input that number when you're shopping online, and it will limit the chances of your card being skimmed. So that's just two little pieces of advice from me this week. That's all we have time for. If you missed any of this program, you can listen back in full up on newstalk.com. But don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on the Newstalk app in iTunes, Pocket Casts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. John Fardy's up next here on Newstalk. I'll chat to you next week.